Man, what a pretty song. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can come together and worship you. Thank you for your word that you reveal your truth to us. And Lord, we praise you for that. And I pray you open our hearts to receive the deep things you have to say from your word. Anoint me, I just speak things of the Spirit. And every person to receive of the Spirit. So again, we thank you this morning that we can come together and give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to turn this morning to 2 Chronicles, okay? 2 Chronicles. Just open your Bible in the middle, flip around till you find it. 2 Chronicles. We're going to be looking at chapter 34, verse 19 to start off with. And so 2 Chronicles. We'll spend most of the morning there, so it'd be good to find it. The title of the message this morning is Hear the Words. Hear the Words. And we have a person here that is maybe one of the best biblical examples of someone hearing the word. And I mean, he heard it and he did it. You know, he heard the word. And so we can learn some things from him. And so I want to look at this and kind of walk through his life. And hopefully the Lord will reveal some truth to us to be encouragement as we walk with him and hear his word. Well, to start off with, we're going to look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, verse 19, and it says this, "And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes." Now, in Old Testament times and stuff, that was a point of deep anguish or whatever, and you even see it in the New Testament, early part in the Gospels, that people just overwhelm the emotion, they tear their clothes. So here we have the king heard the words of the law and he tore his clothes. It had such an impact on him. So here we are. We have, this is Josiah. This is King Josiah. And King Josiah tore his clothes after hearing the word of the Lord. Josiah. Interesting individual, king of Judah. So who was this king who was so mightily moved by hearing the word of God? Who is he? What made this up that he would do that? What can we learn from it? And who was this king who comes to reign after God has already declared irreversible judgment against Judah because of the evil reign of the two previous kings? Now, comprehend that. This is what happens, and there's a real clear verse that shows that God has looked at and said, these two kings have reigned, and what they instituted was so bad, and people practiced it so long, he declared judgment on them. It's irreversible. He declared irreversible judgment on Judah. Okay, so it's a done deal. Now you have this king. Now this king comes after that declaration. He's not going to change God's mind that this is not going to happen. He's declared irreversible judgment. And so you have this king. He comes to reign. Now, so, and by the way, his father was Manasseh, and he reigned for about 40 years. He had a long reign, 40 years, and he is classified as one of the worst kings. In fact, God, when he says he's going to judge Judah, says, I'm going to judge Judah for all the sins of Manasseh. Manasseh's dead. See, he left his mark on the people. And then he had his son, who was as bad as he was. Now you got his grandson, Josiah. Now you have his grandson. So this kid's got a bad heritage right here. Grandfather and father didn't pass along anything good to this young man. So let's look at it. Let's look and see what the Lord can tell us what happened. And again, see what we can learn from it in the world in which we live. So I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. Evil 40-year reign of Manasseh, evil reign of his son Amon. And then in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1, it says this, Josiah, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. 8-year-old. I mean, it's an 8-year-old. An 8-year-old. I mean, the things around him, 40-year reign of the most evil king in Judah, irreversible judgment pronounced. His father not any better. And the 8-year-old comes to reign. That's what he is. I mean, if you had that situation, that, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you an 8-year-old. Anyway. So we look at this. Incredibly, Josiah's reign began at 8 years of age. But more incredible, we see that he seeks the Lord personally at age 16. He purges the land of idols at age 20. And he repairs and cleans out the temple of God at the age 26. Something took hold. Look at these verses. It's just good to see them. Repeat this. 2 Chronicles 34:3. For in the 8th year of his reign, 16, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the Lord, began to seek God, the God of David and his father. And in the 12th year of his reign, 20, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of all the carved and metal images. Then in 2 Chronicles 34:8, it says, now in his 18th year, he's 26 now, he sent Shaphan to repair the house of the Lord his God. So, I mean, 8 years old, and this guy, this kid is smoking for the Lord. I mean, going out. And he's reversing the irreversible, it looks like, of what his grandfather and father had done. And it's important, too, with this godly beginning, it's good to see that he not only finishes well, he also is better than all those before him. Amazing. You don't have to turn here, but you can know it. But I'm going to look at 2 Kings because it says it more clearly. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25. Talking about Josiah. And before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. According to all of the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. I mean, you talk about this boy shine. This boy shine right here. Now, it's interesting when we look at this, none of the kings in Judah had the zeal for the word of the Lord like Josiah. Now, here's the key point of this. No one had the zeal for the word of the Lord like Josiah. Now we see earlier than him, there was another good king, and he actually came at a young age too. His name was Hezekiah, and it said that Hezekiah had unequaled faith. There was no one like him before. He had unequaled faith. Well, what we have with Josiah, he had no rival in his devotion to the Word of God. So, I mean, you got kind of two double-barrel shotgun here. Hezekiah on faith, and Josiah on the Word of God. So, it's like, all right, what? Does anybody wonder, like, what happened? How do you get this 8-year-old come in this black pit and to come out like this? You know, you think, Ashford's bad. You know, school system's bad. I didn't see nothing like what happened here with Josiah. And so what were the influences? And so we can kind of look and deduct some things. So what we have, we must think that for a boy 8 years old, we've got to believe that he had a lot of influence from his mother. I mean, if they put your 8-year-old on the throne, you think, you say, hey, son, let me come with you. We need to talk. You know, wouldn't you think his mother would come? His father's dead, you know, and everybody, it's funny. It's not funny. But he died, and they were like good riddance. I mean, so here's he got this kid, you know, his grandfather and father are dead, evil kings. And all we have here is left is his mother. And you would think, I mean, mothers, would you hang around your 8-year-old? I mean, in this situation, you'd say, hey, son, listen. Dad and granddad have a bad example, and they're both dead. Well, and you don't have to turn here, but in 2 Kings 22:1,
It states who his mother is. And we see her name is Jedediah. And her name literally means beloved or lovely. And we just got to believe, especially in the Jewish times, they would name or change the names of people according to their calling or their character. And you got to believe that this mother's name, beloved and lovely, related her character. And she passed her character on to that son. You just got to believe that in that mix. You got to believe that that's what was happening. And then we also see, especially at that young of an age, there also we see something else here that, you know, there's a lot of things going on. But there's another person that must have had a lot of influence on Josiah, okay, is Jeremiah. I have an overhead for this, but you just know in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, where Jeremiah starts his ministry, Jeremiah 1, 1 through verse 2, it says this: the words of the Lord came to Jeremiah in the days of Josiah. There you go. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in the days of Josiah in the 13th year of his reign. He's 21 years old. So he did this, 8, you know, 16, and you see him doing this, 8, 16, 20. But 21, at 21, Jeremiah shows up. Now it does say in Chronicles when Josiah died, it says Jeremiah grieved deeply. It does say that. So you know these, you know there's a connection. So here we got these people. A godly mother and a devoted man of God had a tremendous impact on this young man. Just want to let you know, the people around us have an influence. The kids, the people your kids hang out with have an influence. Moms, you have an influence, you know. And so you see this, so I think there is definitely a lesson there. It's like, that you need to pay attention to. Because children are moldable. And you got to believe that Josiah was around people that molded him. And you got to believe in this one, his mother, whose name was Lovely, passed on her character to him. And then God, as he responded to that, then God sent him. He has no father. He has no grandfather, you know. Then he sends him, well, who? Jeremiah, okay. And if you remember, if you look at Jeremiah, you know why we call him the weeping prophet? Because Jeremiah came out and he declared judgment on Israel. That's what he declared. So you know that there's a connection between Jeremiah and Josiah. There just has to be. There's an influence there. So, okay, now you have the dynamic. You know, so the Lord doesn't give us a lot more details, but you kind of get the picture of where things are. Now, so at 26, and again, I just want, to me it's just amazing. 8 years old, he comes to the throne. 16, he starts seeking the Lord on his own. It's becoming his. 20 years, he starts cleaning the whole country out. He's starting to flex his muscle, and it's for the Lord. And then at 21, Jeremiah shows up. But what we have here also, at the age of 26, he goes into the temple and cleans the temple out. Now, it's a good thing. It's interesting when you read about this and read the history about it. The temple was the most holy place in the Jewish mindset. And what Manasseh did, who, you know, he didn't care, he would put idols and stuff inside the temple of God. Manasseh actually put idols of Baal and Asherah, he put them in the temple. That's what Manasseh did, you know. And so, and then evidently they just junked the place up too, said it was a mess. They had to take out debris. So it just fell into disuse. So at age 26, he goes, no, we need to clean the temple out. Now, he cleans the temple out, and he, by cleaning the temple out, he finds the biggest discovery of his entire life. Okay, I mean, he has been raised up and moving in the right direction, but now he discovers something that just absolutely changes his whole life. Now, he's doing well. I mean, from our standard, he's like your kids. Hey, he's done well. He's not in jail. He's done. I mean, so it just depends what your standard is. But he's doing well, okay? Now, so he goes, cleans out the temple, and the priests are in there cleaning out the temple, and they go, huh, look what we found. Okay, 2 Chronicles 34:15. Then Hilkiah, the priest, said, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Shocker. You know, it's like, oh my God, we're cleaning out this junk. Can you imagine you get cleaning out your attic? And what's this book? You know, it's a Bible. Who had this? You know, it's like, that's what they did. They cleaned out the what? There's a book here. What's it? Well, it's the Bible, or it's the Torah, you know. And so what we see, that while repairing the temple, they found the written word of God. They found the written law, and they have it. They have the written law in front of them. Now, it's interesting. Religion, it's interesting about religion. Religion here with Josiah has always been present, but the foundation of the truth of the Word of God had been ignored. Okay? The foundation of the truth of the Word of God had been ignored. But they're doing the religious stuff that they knew to do. I mean, tradition comes on in. You know, it's kind of like some churches you go in. You can come in, it's nice building stuff, and go, and you never hear anything about Jesus or anything else. So religion lasts, you know, but they forget to pay attention to the book. You know, it's terrible when you see buildings that outlast the book. Okay. Outlast. One of the things that I remember, we went to a missions trip, Linda and I did, gosh, many years ago, and we would go in these huge, monstrous cathedrals. I mean, just amazing, you know. And they definitely outlasted the book. They outlasted. Nobody in them. Nobody went. They're like museums. You're awestruck, you know. But they outlasted the book. Nothing to preach from. See, and that's kind of what wasn't here, because you had Josiah. I mean, he was moving in what he knew, and he was being taught the things of the Lord. And so, but here the book had actually been ignored. You know, it's kind of like your mother sitting there and you're telling you about the things of the Lord. Then you come back and then you read it for yourself. She prepared the way, but when you read it for yourself, it's like, oh my God. You know, and so anyway, that's what happened here. So now we have the king was going to hear the very word of God. He's going to hear the breathed out word of God. This is what the king is going to hear. And so they come to the king and say, hey, look what we found. Now, okay, we know that this king is already, look what he's done already in his life. Okay, so he said, we found the word of God. He goes, read it to me. Read it to me. And that's what we have here. And I have in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 18, and I have an overhead. I just highlighted some stuff, but you know, you can just read along. There's too much stuff to put on the overhead. But I want to read this to you, what happened when they read the book to the king now. So by the way, drum roll, the setting is set. The setting is set. You've got the king that's taken a lot of steps as a young boy, and now the priest comes in and says, look what we found. Here's the word of God. He says, read it to me. I mean, you know something's going to happen here. You know something's going to happen here. So this is what happened. Then Shaphan, he's the secretary. He's the guy they're sending. He's the errand boy. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book. Concerning the words of the book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord that was in the book. So they have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. Now, right there, we get something. Okay, it's like he opened this up. Well, this is a nice looking book. You know, we can put it on our coffee table. It'd be cool. That's kind of a conversation piece. Where'd you find it? Some guy found it in the temple. It's pretty, you know. It's like, no. What was said in the book struck Josiah that he tore his clothes. I mean, if Josiah tore his clothes and said, oh my God, they're going to judge for what's written in the book. I mean, he's trucking on, right? But he's like, we're in world trouble. We're in world trouble. Why? Because what was written in the book. Now, we pay people around us, our town, don't pay attention to the book. Oh, it's not that important. It's in the book. And, well, no, that's not what Josiah did. See? And therefore, God worked through Josiah. I will not use any names or anything else, but I want to share. I had a friend of mine who was discussing Christ with an elder of another church. And the elder of the church says, you know that book is just a bunch of fables. Now, so what that is, the building outlasted the book. You know, I mean, you're an elder. Now, just by the way, you know, our elder and our advisory committee, you know, it's like, you got to believe the book. I mean, come on. I mean, we can have some differences, but you got to kind of hang on the book here. So what I'm saying, this is a huge deal, but they look, it's written in the book, and it had that impact on me. So right there, I asked myself, does it have that kind of impact on me when I read it? You know, when I read through it, does it have the impact on me? Now, so what we see, what Josiah saw, okay, now he's down, again, we got 8, 16, 20, 21, I mean, so he's going in the right direction, but what you see here is he says, oh my gosh, he's like, I'm just kind of scratching the surface here. I'm just kind of scratching the surface. And so what he does, he realizes the God-breathed word of God revealed God's unapproachable holiness. And that's what happened. He's like, God is so bigger, much bigger. He is so holy. He's like, how can you even approach him? See, which that's the reason he had the temple in the first place, because they couldn't approach him. That's the reason they had the temple. So this is kind of show you how to do it, which Christ ultimately fulfilled. But still, but he saw, it's like, oh my gosh. His vision of God just grew exponentially because what he read in the book. See, that's what made a difference about him. So it's important what's in the book. So what he did, Josiah saw that there was a depth to God he never even imagined. I mean, 16 years old seeking the Lord, 20 years old purging the land, you know, and 21, you know, cleaning the things out of the cities, and 26, purging the temple, and he comes like, oh my gosh. He then, oh my God, there's a depth. I don't have a clue the depth of God. The magnitude, you see the magnitude that Josiah saw from reading the book. Not just reading it, he heard the words of the book and took it seriously. It wasn't a coffee table piece. Amen? See, and so you see that. Oh my goodness. And so what he does, and see, you still had prophets around. Jeremiah's a prophet. We get introduced to another prophetess. Okay, we got a lady prophet here. And it says, after hearing the word of God, the prophetess Huldah confirmed to Josiah what he had read. Now, anytime, and this is a good point, I wouldn't even mention this, but this is a good time. Anytime somebody has a prophetic word, you know, or the man or woman, prophetess or prophet, if they tell you anything, they're going to confirm the word of God. They're not going to dream something else up. You see what I'm saying? If they dream something else up, it's inside, you know, not here. But they're going to confirm the word of God. So that's a key right there, all right? And so what she did after, hey, look, look what happened to the king. She said, all right, let me share some stuff with you. So they go ask her about it, you know? And said, look at what we found. She said, yeah. Okay, so this is what, this is what's happened, we see with Huldah. So I bet you never, I don't know, probably even heard of Huldah. I mean, she's same time Jeremiah. I think they're both single, but, you know, they probably knew each other, okay? Actually, she was married. She had a husband. Anyway, so here we have in 2 Chronicles 34, 22 through 25, and there's no overheads. Just listen to this. So Hilkiah and those whom the king had sent went to Huldah, the prophetess, and she said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, all right, you tell Josiah, you go back and tell Josiah. So tell the man who sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring upon this place and upon its inhabitants all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah. He read it, he saw it, he said, uh-oh, go talk to Huldah. What does she have to say? And she says, he's going to do just what he said. That's what Huldah said. All right? He's going to do just what he said. I'm going to bring the curses that are written in this book because they have forsaken me. They have made offerings to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place, and it will not be quenched. Again, Josiah, done deal. Wrath's coming. Nothing you do about it. It's coming. Now, so what we have here is, I mean, Josiah, just think Josiah, he's made some inroads. This boy is a godly man, you know, and it's amazing. And he's coming to grips with all this, and this, he reads it, and this prophetess and tells him this stuff. And what we have here, we see that God was going to bring irreversible judgment on Judah because of the sins of Josiah's grandfather and father. That's the heritage they left this kid. And it specifically says, God says later on in 2 Chronicles, he says, I'm going to bring judgment on Judah because of the sins of Manasseh. I mean, he did some. We even see where later on, that's another message, where Manasseh actually repented. But he had done so much damage, you couldn't undo it. He did so much damage. Now, you know, there's a little thing you might take note of, and this is commentary. Okay, this is commentary. And you know what I mean when I say commentary? You can take it or leave it. It's just what I think. So this is commentary. But when I see this pronouncement of irreversible judgment, I really believe that there's a point of return. There's a point of no return for everybody. There's a point of no return when God says, I'm done. I think it's for our country, and I think it's for individuals. Now, it's not for us to figure, well, I bet they're done, you know, God will never save. No, that's not what I'm talking about. God saved too many people I thought he'd never save, you know, including me. You know, but there is a point from God's eyes, where he says, that's enough. Your blatant disobedience and judgment is coming, and nobody can reverse it. It happens. And when I said blatant disobedience, you know, because we all do stupid stuff. I mean, we can just rack it up. But when there, you know the truth and you go against it, there's a point of no return. So, okay, there's no repentance. Not that the person say, I repent, but their hardened heart, like Pharaoh, their heart is so hard that they can never repent. They can never repent. Anyway, so it's a frightening thing. But this is where Judah is. They're done. They're absolutely done. Now, something happens. Huldah, bless her heart, is not finished. It says, because what Huldah does, she prophesies. Huldah the prophetess also prophesies to Josiah that because he had a tender heart for God and believed the word of God, he believed the word of God, that the judgment would be delayed and not fall on Josiah. Now, there's another lesson. Our obedience can delay judgment. Now, before God, now this is before God. Our obedience, I believe, can delay judgment. And that's what she says to him. But because of your tender heart and you believe the word, this judgment, it's coming, but it's not going to come in your lifetime. It's not going to come in your lifetime. And so, good. Our obedience can delay God's judgment. That's a commentary, but I believe that. Now she continues. So she continues. Now she's just said, what God said about judgment to Judah, it's happening. You know, can't change it. Then she says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 26. That's a big word, you know. But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him. Now he's got a specific word. Thus you shall say to him, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Now, he got killed in battle, but he means peace of heart and peace and not the wrath of God. And your eyes shall not see this disaster. Your eyes will not see this disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. Okay. Now there's a dynamic. You see, judgment's coming on the country because of the damage. Because when Manasseh sinned for 40 years, he sucked everybody else up into it as his follower. They became as bad as he was. See, that's why it's okay. There's nothing left but judgment. Then you have Josiah shows up and judgment is delayed because of him. Because of him. Not the country, but it's because of him. And so you see this. So one, what's the lesson we hear? When we read the Word of God, here's a lesson. I mean, a lesson I get, you know, and because this is what God said. He says to Josiah, because your heart was tender. Now, when he heard the Word, because your heart, well, I hear you, God. Your heart is bigger than what you want is bigger than me, and I want what you want. His heart was tender. He was tender. His heart was tender to God. And then he humbled himself before God. Humbled himself. Heart was tender. Humbled himself before God. What? When he heard his words. When he heard his words. Well, I'll just read my 10 minutes. I'm done. I'm gone. I don't think you heard nothing. I mean, you know, come on. I always say 5 minutes. I do mean 5 minutes. I mean a good 5 minutes. God, what are you saying? Wait, this is your word. This is spent. You're breathing on me. I'm looking at your words. You're breathing on me. What are you saying? I don't understand it, but I take that. I roll that around. You hear. You really hear the word. And his heart was tender. He humbled because he heard the word of God. Amen? That's what Josiah did. He heard. Tender heart that started with his mother named Lovely. Amen? Amen. Now, also what it tells us, and you say, it says, he says he was just tender before God when he heard God's words. And then it says later on that verse, he says, because you've heard me, I've heard you. Now, listen to that.
Now think about it. That just sent, even as I said it, sent chills up my back. Right there. God said, because you heard me, I've heard you. Oh, I want to hear from God. Okay. You know, listen to what God has to say. You know, do what God says, all right, and then he'll hear you. You hear him, he hears you. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's powerful. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He wept before me. He tore his clothes. Therefore, I've also heard you. There's a passionate, tender heart in the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, I hear you. And that what he heard, he read the word. It's the word. See, you said, well, God, there's a big smoke and, you know, thunderous voice. No, he read the word, and God says, you heard me. Read the word, intended. You heard me, therefore I hear you. If that isn't, now how do we get God to work? Read what he says. God, I heard you. He says, now, okay, now I listen to you. Amen? I mean, it's right there. And so what this, what, and that's the lesson we get from Josiah, you know, that when the, and what he is, he said, there's no king like him. No king like him. Okay. And what it says, because his heart was tender, his heart was tender when you heard God's words. What it, and this is specifically talking about reading what's in the Bible. Specifically. He says, now you heard what I said in the Bible. I've also heard you. We'll delay this wrath. It won't come in your time. It won't come in your time. Amen? I mean, that should be powerful. Powerful. So, oh my goodness. So we have to go here. Let's flip over. We got to put a little New Testament. It says the same thing. It's funny how the New Testament says the same thing as Old Testament. They're really amazing. And it just really flows nicely. See, today... today, like Josiah, we need to have a tender heart before God and believe his word. Just look at the world and the attack on the word of God. The attack on the word. You know who knows this verse? Could quote it? We have testimony of quoting it. Quoting the scripture 100% accurately is Satan. Satan knows this word. He knows this truth. Therefore, the lie is, don't believe this book. Don't believe this book. And then you don't believe that book. Then God says, I can't hear you because you don't believe the book. And they're talking about the book here. So it's like, no, we have to believe what the book says. Believe. And then God says, I hear you now. I hear you. So, when we hear God, God hears us. And again, well, I don't hear. Read the book. Read the book. Everybody's got the book. And I love it. It's inspired. It's God breathed. It's like God, you open up, look at me. He breathes on you. He breathes on you, see. You receive it. Now, so what we have here is another verse. It's the same thing, and it really challenges us, and it's the same issue. And it's James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. I just put one verse on the overhead, but James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. And it says this, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, see, that's a clue there. Oh, I heard it, but it didn't make a big impact on me to do anything. Self-deception. Self-deception. Anyway, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he looked like. And it's like, Linda, she's getting ready for church this morning. She looked in the mirror, and then she looks over here and says, ah, what do I look like? I forgot. You see? I mean, no, you remember. You remember. And he said, you can't read the word and then walk away and don't do anything. That's ludicrous. That's what that's saying. So, it's like, and he's comparing reading the Bible with looking at yourself in the mirror. Why did Josiah tear his clothes when he heard the word of God? God's holy and I'm not. Oh my God. I'm not even close. You know, it's, God, what are you doing? I want to know. And so that's what you have. So when we have this, we see, when we read the Word of God, and there's not any application, there's not any faith. I'm not going to do anything, I just have faith. Brother, you ain't got no faith. Because you ain't doing nothing. Because you had faith, what you read would motivate you into action. You see what I'm saying? So, what we have, if there's no application, there is no faith. No faith. Enjoying a good sermon and being enlightened by reading the Word without application is useless. Useless. Or worse, it's self-deception. I will never forget Bill Wright, and I've shared with you about Bill Wright. You know, and he was a loveliest guy. He's such a minister to me. And, you know, he wasn't big on empathy. But anyway, I mean, everybody's got things to work on, all right? That was just, and he says, you hear the Word of God? That's what God says. You heard it. Now you're accountable before Jesus Christ as you walk out of this room. You think, oh my God, I wish I hadn't come, you know, because I am accountable. But you know, I walked out, I'm accountable. But the truth of it is, we are accountable. We're accountable to what we hear. We're accountable. And so you see this, it's like, okay. And to reach, oh, that's good, man, and you don't do anything. It's self-deception. Self-deception. This is like looking in a mirror, then turning away, and immediately forgetting what you look like, which is ludicrous, but no less ludicrous than the believer who listens carefully to God's truth and does not put it into practice. Now, Josiah and James are saying exactly the same thing. With Josiah, we have a picture of what it looks like. And James would go say, this is the theology behind Josiah. So, like Josiah, the purpose of listening to truth is to act upon it. Not just to listen, to act upon it. Theoretical knowledge only of spiritual truth is never commended in Scripture. Look it up. It's never. Just the knowledge is never commended. In fact, hearing without application is condemned. See, my buddy Bill Wright was right. I mean, he was right. I think he could have said it nicer, but he was right. And by the way he said it, I never forgot it. You know, so here we are. Josiah. Mothers, God says a lot about men and their place in the home, but I mean, it really left you guys out in this situation. So we'll have to do another message on you, okay? Like that, God's response, your response, how God uses the men. But mothers, he laid this one in your lap. Moms, he laid this one in your lap. Hey, the whole world's going to hell in the handbasket. But mom believes. That's what happened. 8 years old, mom believes. It made all the difference in the world. And she took him all the way to introduce him to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's more like Bill Wright. Okay, he was like that, you know. So, hallelujah. So we look at this. It has an impact. We need to hear the words. We need to. And the words have power. We don't have power. The words have power. God has power. You know, it's like, oh, you haven't. No, just say the word. Let God have power to do his word. His word. And so what we do, just like Josiah, we must act on what we hear and read. And so I don't read the Bible. Well, you're going to play Hank doing anything, you know. You're not held accountable for anything except just being totally disobedient for not reading it. Okay, but we need to act on what we hear and read. And so where do we start? We must start with the truth we all know. We just start from one point. You've got a base point, and you keep coming after that base. And you spring out, and you come to, and here's the base everybody starts at. Everybody that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, we must start with the truth we know. Primarily, Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else.
Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Period. Period. And you got to stand on this truth, or, you know, it's like Jesus will leave the building. Jesus will leave the building and he'll just have an edifice and a lot of flowery language, you know. But you claim him as the only way to salvation. He stays in the building. And power is in the building. Amen. Power is within each believer. Hallelujah. So, we'll pray for my brother Bill Wright's compassion, that he will grow in that. But we won't. Let's just pray and thank God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for Josiah. We thank you for the lesson from Josiah. We thank you that what you've said all through Scripture, that Scripture is God breathed. God breathed. Jesus quoted Scripture to Satan. Satan quoted Scripture back to Jesus, which Jesus quoted Scripture back to Satan. Word is powerful. It's powerful. The one Satan knows Scripture is powerful. He knows Scripture is the truth. And if anything in what he'll do to undercut Scripture, because he knows it reveals him defeated. It reveals power that overpowers him. It gives us power to stand strong in this world. And we thank you. And so, Lord, be our teacher. We read Scripture and know that we are going to see the things we need to do. So we thank you, dear God. We thank you that you're our teacher. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.